The positive vibes are here. You can probably feel them through the screen, and they are obviously not because of me. That can only mean that one person is here. She is back after 4 months. She came on the show 4 months ago and absolutely killed it. Everybody loved it. She is a spiritual coach, a psychic medium, and a YouTuber. She is none other than Electra Soul.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best to, like, let you speak this time, because apparently I got word that I was cutting you off and I wasn't letting you talk.
I got
text messages like, yo, man, the interview was great. Like, they thought you were interviewing me. They were like, I learned so much about you. I was like, it wasn't about me. You were supposed to learn about her. They were like, she did great. She asked so many great questions. I was like, you know, it was the opposite, right? So that was my fault, I guess.
I'm sorry. That's so funny. Don't worry about it, though. I didn't even notice. Like,
you have great interviewing skills. Great interviewing skills.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think last time... I want to talk about like twin flames and soulmates and all that spiritual stuff. But last time we had you on the show, I don't think we got into your YouTube channel at all. We just got straight into manifestation. So I want to talk about your YouTube channel a little bit. And I want to know about how long were you into the spiritual stuff before you got started with YouTube? And then what made you want to start doing YouTube?
Okay. So I originally got into spirituality, like, I would say, not knowing the basics around it. I didn't really understand any of that stuff, but I first started like dipping my toes into like the other side, I guess you could say, when I was like, honestly, I can't even remember how young I was. I was a child, though. I know for a fact I used to have like a lot of very like prominent dreams and very vivid dreams with spirits and things like that. Then as I got a little older, around 7, I remember I was like seeing spirits. I didn't know, though, you know, that's like the whole thing. I had no idea. Then as I got a little older, I was around, I would say like 11 years old, 12 years old, that's when I started having an interest in astrology. So it was like something that was like step by step by step. And then the next year, no, when I was 13, that's when I started really understanding what spirits were. That's when I was having a lot of sleep paralysis, like things like that. And then from there, it just never stopped. Like, it just kept on going. So as I turned 15, 16, 17, it just got deeper and deeper and deeper. So literally like my whole life, pretty much.
Now, before we get into why you started YouTube, then when you talked about sleep paralysis, did you ever see anything in sleep paralysis, or were you just like stuck there?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. Oh my goodness. That's so funny you even say that. I just finished recording a TikTok about sleeping on your back, how it like induces sleep paralysis.
I never sleep on my back. It's scary.
I sleep on my back now. That's the only position I can sleep in now. But the only way I can do it is if I like implement my power where I'm like, nothing's going to fuck with me. Like, I'm going
to
be fine. You know,
you got to get ready to sleep on your bed. You have to like prepare like a boxing match.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But no, I definitely do see like types of spirits, all that stuff. It's very scary. Actually, I would say sleep paralysis is one of the scariest things.
Do you know about the Hat Man?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen that before?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen the Hat Man before.
Oh, yeah. Have you?
No, thank God. I know two of my friends have seen it, but yeah, I've never seen it. Thank God.
Yeah, it's very different. And that spirit is like, they call it like the spirit of death. They usually say that spirit is seen before someone's going to pass away. Thankfully, no one passed away in my case. Like, I did see it. He came into my room, like everything. It was the most vivid dream I've ever had, vivid sleep paralysis, but definitely have seen that man.
And he was like in the corner of the room or something, or what?
Actually, it was, I don't know if I told you this. I can't remember if I mentioned this last time. I think I did. I may have, but if I did, remind me, because what I said, I remember, was that basically I was in my bed, like laying down. And I remember I knew I was going into sleep paralysis. I had just turned 13 years old. And I remember the spirit walked into my room. He had a hat on and he had a trench coat, and he was very tall, all black. He came into my room. And I remember he literally walked in, shut the door behind him, turned around, pulled my spirit, I guess, to the edge of the bed, because it wasn't physically me, but it felt real. Pulled me to the edge of the bed and then took out a knife and went down. And then I woke up, and that was it.
Oh, my God. I never heard about him wielding a knife.
That's what I'm saying.
It gets scarier every time I hear a new story about them. I read a whole book about it. There's like a whole book with a compilation of stories about them.
Oh my God. Yeah. That spirit is different. Like, yeah,
it's creepy.
Nothing to do with him. Shit.
But so you haven't seen him since then?
I did a few more times, but those other times was like a lot less threatening than that first time. That was insane. But
yeah, when my friend saw him, it was like the middle of the day. When it was the early morning and he was walking, he didn't really interact with them, but he walked through a wall and then they never seen him again. And they still tell the story the same exact way. If I ask them right now, they'll be like, yeah, it happened like this, this, and that. The story never changes a bit at all.
Mm-mm,
so that's, and, yeah. And these guys never, this guy never lies for sure.
Mm-mm,
so I know that.
Never.
I know that. So you're doing all that and then you get into YouTube. Why?
Okay. So the reason I actually got into YouTube, well, it's kind of funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's like my whole life I was really, I always felt like I was prepared to do something out there, but I would not say, actually, I'm not going to say prepared because I was wanting to. It's like my soul wanted me to, but I was really terrified of doing it because when I used to be extremely afraid of, like, you know, being bullied, being made fun of and things like that. Not only just that, but when I was little, my mom would always tell me, like, I remember I wanted to post on YouTube when I was a kid. And obviously when I was a kid, that was like when YouTube was kind of first starting out. So I remember that she was like, do not post anything. People are rude. People are mean. They're going to say something. And that was like what was always implemented in my mind. So then as time went on, I kind of like always remembered that. And I was like, I should steer away from that. I don't want to be made fun of or whatever. But then I realized that it was like, I knew too much that I couldn't just keep it inside any longer, you know? So I took that step with TikTok. And then from there, I started branching out into YouTube to actually take it more serious.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You,
it was like a process, but I got there. Yeah. Okay.
So how many years have you been doing YouTube now?
Now I would say like consistently about 2.5 years because I started officially in, I think it was the end. Actually, I believe it was the end of 2020. So it was about about like 2 years or so. Or
okay. So we've been on the same, we've been doing the podcast for about 2.5. So we're on the same page with that. We've been doing this for like the same amount of time. Yeah. So how would you describe your 2.5 years on YouTube if you could?
Oh, that's a great question because I've actually thought about a lot of like my progress throughout the years lately, like thinking about how back then I feel like I was a lot more, I guess, not insecure, but just I cared about the wrong things. Like I wanted to help people, but I was also afraid if I didn't get like a certain amount of something here or like views here, this, that. But then as time went on, I was just like, who the fuck, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what, even like the feedback I get now, it's always taken with a light heart because everything is meant to work in your favor. So I would say that over time, it's definitely gotten better. And I used to fear that it would get worse, but it definitely has gotten better.
Get worse in the sense of like comments, things like that?
Like, I would say just the general, like my, you know, like with my mindset being very like pessimistic at the time, not even pessimistic, but just very afraid. I would always fear that the bigger I got, the more like negative feedback or something I was gonna, it was like very egotistically, you know, obviously wrapped in my mind in fear. But as time went on, I realized that that wasn't going to happen. You know, everything was going to be fine and it turned out fine. So,
and I will say one thing I noticed is your comment section is probably the most positive I've ever seen. Like I rarely see, if I scroll through, I don't really see anything negative there.
Damn, so that's, you're going to make me cry. So that makes me happy.
Yeah, you're doing something good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for them. Like, they're the ones who actually like hear me. That's what I guess I wasn't afraid of, but that's something that I was always keeping my eye out for, is that I always felt like I was going to be misunderstood. And I will say, I'm gonna tell you, this is something with manifestation, because on TikTok, when I first started out, I remember I used to always assume I was going to be misunderstood. I was like, people aren't going to get it. Like, people never seen this, people this, that, whatever, all the spiritual stuff. And every time I dropped something, there would be, you know, obviously good feedback too, but there would also be a lot of people who'd be like, oh, so you're saying this? And what do you mean by that? And it was almost like my words were being misunderstood and misinterpreted, but it was because I was so set on the fact that people were not going to understand. But then as time went on, I was like, people have to understand me. It just is what it is. And they do. And that's why I guess like that feedback on YouTube or anywhere else comes in, is that I'm manifesting people who actually understand, you know?
Right,
so
right.
It all leads back to that.
I did see that on your Instagram one time. Somebody did exactly what you just said, where they were like, oh, so you're saying this. Does that mean this? And they were like trying to put a negative spin on it. And you corrected them in a very positive way. I will say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So yeah, that was now the only time I saw that. I tend to take it a lot easier. Thanks. So yeah, I try. Like, I used to be more defensive because I used to, again, work from fear. So I was like, oh, well, you don't get it and this, that. But now I'm like, it's okay if you don't understand. I probably wouldn't understand either, but let's talk about it. And then that usually ends up with a lot more positive results of their response than if I were to be like going off, you know, there's just no point.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're saying something, you're doing something right. So that's number one. As long as they got something to say, I'm always happy about that. But yeah, like dealing with it in a positive way, there's usually a better outcome I've seen. So even if we get like a horrible comment, I'll try my best to spin it or say something back that's not in the same with the same energy. And sometimes they become fans after that because maybe they're having a bad day or maybe they were just playing around and it just came off weird. So you never know really what's going to happen. But I try to put a positive spin on it like you did. I thought that was cool.
I'm glad that you're doing that because I did realize over time fighting fire with fire is actually really bad. I used to think like fight fire with fire, get your point across, but there's healthier ways to do that, you know?
And if something's really crazy, which I've only remember like one or two really crazy ones, I left them there so they so everybody else could see it. And then everybody else just piled on and told them something. I didn't have to do nothing. I didn't want to delete it because I was like, let's show everybody how ignorant you really are. Let me just leave this here and let everybody else deal with you.
Exactly. There's some people who literally don't deserve a response. That's happened to me a few times. It's just like, okay, think what you want to think. I don't care.
If it's too low, I don't want to stoop down to that level. If it's fun, then I could do it. So you put out a lot of stuff. You put out a lot of stuff on TikTok, Instagram, on YouTube. You post 3 times a week. Do you deal with perfectionism or have you dealt with it?
I will say that over the course of my years of like learning so much about my life and things like that, that I used to be a huge perfectionist when I was, I would say in like middle school. That's when I feel like I was the most inauthentic to myself because I was trying really hard to like put a picture up and all that stuff. But now I just feel like it's so much easier to just let go and just, you know, like let things be and all that stuff. And it just doesn't like, I just feel like nothing really matters. You know, I just
it's more
kind
productive
of like,
too.
I just feel like as long as I'm have my picked my mindset on what it is that I want, then no one else can tell you anything. And I feel like that goes for anyone or anything. Like even if you're passionate about toenails, like if you focus on that and you find a way to make that your thing, you will be happy and it'll be fine, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. And like eventually, I mean, I guess one of the things of perfectionism, like you said before, is you think you're going to be misunderstood or somebody's going to take something the wrong way. Once you realize it's going to happen anyway, it doesn't matter how much you want to like articulate something, how much you want to fix something or adjust something. Somebody's always going to look at it from a different way. So you might as well just put it out. You try your best and you put it out.
Yeah. And that's, I agree with that. Like, especially because I feel like with me being like a perfectionist or whatever, it that time only stressed me out. Like it only made me feel like shit. I only felt like I had to keep going to the next thing. And you know, I've heard people before tell me like, oh, trust me, once you reach a milestone, you're going to want the next milestone. And how can you live happily? Like you can't. You will be miserable for the rest of your life so long as you keep trying to reach like an egotistical goal. Even though we all have goals, of course, like everyone wants to reach a milestone. That's something that happens when it happens. Don't stress out about the next step, you know, like just live in peace, like fuck.
Yeah. I think dropping perfectionism helped me at least up the content. It helped me like release more stuff. And like you said, to what you said about reaching the milestone, sometimes in my opinion, you're not ready for that milestone and you don't realize it till you hit it because that comes with certain things, that comes with certain responsibilities that you didn't know at the time you weren't ready for, at least in my mind. So a lot of times I'm grateful that I haven't reached something yet because I'm like, bro, you wouldn't even be able to handle that right now.
That's a very, very, very good point because you're extremely right. There's some things that I even feel like for myself that there's a lot of things that you can manifest, right? Like you can manifest whatever you want in this world. And I know that, but the thing is that there's certain things that it's not that I don't feel ready for. It's just that I'd rather just know that it's going to happen and then just let it happen when it does. Because I feel like when it happens, I will be fully secure and prepared in that moment. And even now, like simply me saying I am prepared for it means that I am prepared. But again, I would just rather it go with the flow than me, you know, trying to fight it or whatever else. Just literally.
I just want to say before we get back to you, let's talk about me for 1 second. Because you made history on the show today. You said something that I'm going to have to clip and I'm going to have to make a drop of. Because you just said that I'm extremely right. And I've never heard that before. I've never heard that ever. So there we go. I'm extremely right. You heard it right from her. I didn't say it. She said it. I'm extremely right.
Is always right.
I've never heard those words before. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Of course. You are right.
Well, in this one instance, maybe. Let's do a math test and you'll think the opposite.
Oh my God.
So no, I said before, you put out a lot of stuff. And one thing I really admire about you and respect about you is just your social media presence for sure. Because I suck at that. Like, so watching you really kill it on that, it's really cool. You got to give me some tips or like help me out a little bit. Like, how are you so good at posting? As stupid of a question as that is.
Not stupid. You're funny. It's actually a little funny because I'm gonna put a little astrology into this.
Yeah.
My sun, moon, and Mercury are all three in the 11th house. What that means, like the 11th house is ruled by Aquarius. What that means is that that house rules social media, communities. They love technology. And I feel like since technology came out, I've always been like not on top of it, but just present unintentionally. Like I never said I'm gonna get the next iPhone, blah, blah, blah. It would just kind of happen. I would get the next iPhone and then I'd be like, okay, let's see what happens with TikTok and this, that. So what I do is like I make it a mental note to myself where I'm like, if I really want to make a difference the way I want to, I have to apply myself 110% and I cannot fuck around, be lazy, be inconsistent on purpose. It's different if you have a busy schedule and you know you're doing everything you can right now, but if you know you can do better and go harder, you have to, like, you literally just have to. So that's what I always keep in mind for myself each and every single day. Whenever I post, do this, do that. I, in my eyes, I don't even see it as a lot. Like I hear that often people are like, you post a lot. For me, I don't think of it as a lot. I just think of it as my work. It's like just, I have to show
regular,
y'all.
Just
like,
regular. You know? That's what's
exactly
up.
Exactly.
So basically you just told me stop being fucking lazy. There you go. I mean, it's the best advice you can give somebody. That's the
it's
best.
True.
Stop
yeah,
being fucking lazy. We talked about this earlier before we started recording about how you expanded your horizons a little bit and you added another video to the channel, the subliminals, right?
Yes.
What is that?
Okay, so subliminals are actually, it's basically, well, I'm going to explain it in terms of like how I've seen it. It's basically like when you place little like recordings in the back of music or and behind like a noise or some sort of, you know, calming thing, whatever people like. And what those words are just like pretty much exactly what you want, if that makes sense. Like, for example, let's say that you want to maybe
be good
change
at
your
math.
Figure. Yeah. Maybe be good at math.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Because I study at math too. So basically, let's say you want to be a mathematician, whatever. So you listen to some subliminals that in the background, it says, oh, I'm so good at math. I'm so good at math, blah, blah, blah. And usually like the way that it is like it goes very fast. Like it's enough for your subconscious to pick it up. So when you listen to it, you're like, okay, well, you don't hear none of the words because obviously no one's going to want to listen to words. They just want to hear the music. But in the background, you hear all that influence. And even though you don't consciously pick it up, your subconscious picks it up. And that's how most times, like when people listen to subliminals, they'll get certain results or they'll see different things change. It's because they are, you know, listening to the subliminals. So for me, what I do on my channel is like, I choose a certain topic every week, depending on how I feel, depending on what people want, like highly requested things, I'll work with that. But I always want to do something that I know will actually help people. So I choose topics that I feel like branch out a little bit, whatever. And then I just, you know, put it all into like an MP4, make it into a little like quick, basically, what is it? Is a certain, what's it called? Hertz, I think. I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, like the Hertz, right?
The noise.
Yeah,
exactly. So what I do is like, I'll implement that into like my subliminals. I'll put the music rain so that no one can actually hear it underneath. And then I just put that shit on YouTube and I'm like, okay, y'all, like, I hope it helps y'all, whatever, this, that, but pretty much that's how that works. And
you're brainwashing yourself in a good way.
In a yes, like gaslighting in a good way.
And it's been received well on your channel.
Yeah, I definitely, I'm very thankful for the response that I've gotten from that, because I remember when I wanted to do that a long time ago, I guess I was a little afraid in a way, because I used to think like, oh, I have to make it like other subliminal makers, but everyone's individual, everyone's independent, you have your own style. And I was like, you know what, like, I'm gonna just do it how I want to do it, and people who like me and who mess with my content will like it too, so I'm not worried. That's, you know, right. And it worked out, and that's, it was
right,
good.
That's right. Something I never really notice nor ever care about is mm-hmm. makeup, but I gotta say, your makeup is always on point. It's always looking great. And I gotta know, when are we gonna get a well, you don't do Tuesdays, when are we gonna get like a Tuesday makeup tutorial or the get ready with me? Because we need, I mean, you've been doing it for 2.5 years already. You gotta add that now.
The GWME.
Yeah. Yeah. GRMW, I think.
Yes.
Oh, no, GRWM. Yeah, 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 yeah. We gotta get them. I feel like that's a perfect avenue for you, no lie.
But thank you. I actually like that idea, because I do like to do a lot of different things. Even though spirituality will always be my main focus, I feel like if I were to do like a makeup thing, it might be with like a side channel or something, because I do want to like keep my stuff focused on one specific thing on like my channel and whatever. But I've heard that before, and I appreciate that deeply. Like, people want to see how I do my makeup, but I'm gonna be so honest with you. When I do my makeup, it is always improvised as fuck. I never have like a certain look in my mind. I don't look up inspo. Like, I do sometimes in the way that I'm like, I'll do like a huge remix off of this, because I never want to do something similar to another person. But everything that I do is literally, I'm like, okay, let's see what I got today. Oh, maybe I could do green, maybe blue, maybe pink, whatever. And then I just do it.
I think people would love to see that process regardless. And you can always just add astrology stuff underneath it. Just like, hey guys, we're talking about Sagittarius stuff today, blah, blah, blah. You know, 11th house.
Yeah,
you just record it later. You just film yourself doing the makeup, and then you just record it later.
I'm going to give you credit for that.
Yeah, cancer season's here. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be great. Look at my eyeshadow, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it'll be pretty good. It'll be great.
Yeah, talk about the full moon or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. And if it works out, let me get like 2% of the rev. That's it. Let me get 2% of the revenue.
Shit, like, it's perfect.
So now let me ask you this before we move on from YouTube. Do you have any advice for somebody who may just be starting YouTube? Maybe not just, if you want to tailor it to spirituality or not, it's up to you. But any advice for somebody who's just starting YouTube?
Okay, so for anyone who's just starting YouTube, the one thing I'm going to say is that it's super important to go in with the mindset of success, but not just that, of not caring. Like, you actually, and do not take this lightly, actually have to not care about what people think, but not in the way that, you know, you don't care about their positive opinions, but more so, do not worry about backlash. Do not worry about what people will criticize you for. Don't worry about basically none of the things that will actually help you. And if you are serious about doing YouTube, you have to be sure that you are actually on top of your shit. If you say you're going to upload once a week, you better be uploading once a week. If you say you're doing it twice, you better be doing it twice, and not lazy this week, next week this. Consistency is literally key. I'm telling you guys, that's the way that people grow. Consistency, as long as you're staying up with your craft, as long as you're staying true to yourself, doing what you love, and you're applying yourself, not caring what people think, like literally blocking out the outside noise, there's no way you won't be successful. And I promise you, like, this is a foolproof plan. If you do it, it's gonna work. That's it.
Bam, we gotta put you on like a YouTube seminar. That's it. We gotta put you on the stage.
You're funny.
That was the best that was the best advice I could give. I can't add to that at all. So let's just move on from there.
Okay.
Let's talk about twin flames and soulmates, something I feel like is a big topic on YouTube. So explain to me, let's start with twin flames, because I feel like this is a big topic to explain both of them. So let's start with twin flames. What is that?
Okay. So twin flames, book dictionary definition, is basically when there's two halves of one soul. Okay. So what it said with the twin flame thing is that when a person was made, they were split into two beings, a divine feminine and a divine masculine. Doesn't have to be a girl and a guy. It could be a girl, whatever. But they both have that divine masculine and feminine energy. And what happens is that they spend lifetimes finding each other, working through their shit so that they can come back together as one whole. Because what's said with twin flames is that the person that you're with is your divine mirror. They basically show you everything that you are, everything that you've been trying to run from, everything that you have inside of you, they are, and that can either trigger you or that can help you. But either way, the intention of a twin flame is to help you become closer with yourself. So, you know, obviously, like, there's different kinds of soul connections. I do believe that twin flames and soulmates are different kinds of connections. Like, a soulmate to me is someone who you meet who is like your divine pair, but in the way that it's always harmonious. It's like you meet them and you're with them, and then it's just peace and beautiful. We both love movies. We both love this. We both love that. With twin flames, it's kind of like, I like music and he likes studying science or some shit. Like, it just, even though I like art, he likes science. Like, it's just opposite kind of, but it doesn't always lead down to something like that. That's just an example. It's just a huge, like, a polar opposition is more so what it is, but it's always something that deep in the core, like, center of who you are. Both twin flames have the same life purpose, the same journeys, like, things like that. It's kind of like deep down in the core, it's the same. On the outside, it's completely different.
Right.
That's how I would describe it as.
Okay. So Is it like you're supposed to end up with one of them at the end, or, like, you know, for most of your life, are you supposed to end up with one of them, or, like, how does that work? Are you like just destined to be with one of them, or no?
So what's said about a twin flame as well is that sometimes people will not meet their twin flames in certain lifetimes because their soul is not ready for it. And I honestly will agree with that, because with twin flames, it really is extremely triggering in the way that it's like forcing you to change. You know, if someone has their ways, and even though, you know, you think anyone can change, of course anyone can, but does everyone want to? Absolutely not. So the thing with twin flames, it's kind of like, once you meet them, they're forcing you to change, and it's up to you to decide whether you want to or not. So in some cases, some people are just not ready for that. But what's also said about twin flames is that at the end of it, like, once you reach your final lifetime, all the way at the end, whatever, that is when you will finally be one with your twin flame, because you will be so advanced within your soul journey that you will have no other choice but to be with someone who is on the same level as you. You know, okay, what I'm saying? Like, mentally, spiritually, all that stuff. So it's all about alignment. But yes, I will say, in my personal belief, I do believe that everyone ends up with their twin flame in their last lifetime. Like, once it's like final, you know?
So then in every other current incarnation, you have a different soulmate, and then you're with them for every different lifetime?
I believe that also depends as well, because I do know that there are certain people, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, where someone will die with someone that they're very unhappy with, like a very toxic relationship. I'm sure you've seen old people hate each other. Like, it's not good. So there's certain lifetimes that I believe that, depending on what a soul does for themselves, like, if someone is strong enough to get up and to decide better, that they will get up and go meet their soulmate, you know, the person who will be happy with them. But in other cases, there are also people who will settle with the karmic soulmate, someone who makes them very unhappy, someone who brings them down every day because they're afraid to get up and get better. So I will say that it does depend, again, on, like, your soul, your lifetime, how mature you are as a soul and all that stuff, for you to decide what you want out of your lifetime and what you want out of your partner. But definitely with soulmates, it's kind of like the same soul, different body, you know? Like, if you choose the best for yourself, like, I want my soulmate, you're going to end up meeting them in every lifetime.
So you said a karmic soulmate. Is that different than a regular soulmate?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh boy, now we're getting deep. What's the difference between, what's that?
A karmic soulmate is someone who only comes into your life to teach you a lesson, usually. Yeah, no, literally that. Like, I will say with karmics, it's usually a first love situation, a very toxic first love situation, or, oh, I just broke up with my man and this man treats me worse, or whatever. It's like that. But I'm not saying it has to be like that traumatic or toxic, but it's usually just with the intention of you learning something from this person, and then once the cycle's over, then it usually splits ways. And the one thing I will also say about karmic soulmates is that usually those who experience the most toxic karmic soulmates are the ones who have to have a lot of shit to work through. Those who have like a lot less less toxic karmic soulmates are those who have like a peaceful life, I feel, more so than anything else. Cause I'm sure you've also seen where couples are together, but they just don't work out. Like, maybe they go their separate ways and they were really good together, but this guy had to do this and she had to do that, whatever, you know? So it really depends, but karmics are definitely there to teach you a lesson. And then once you're done learning, it splits ways. And then that's just basically it with that.
Okay. And then you can go to your regular soulmate, which is more of a peaceful relationship than any other one. That's what I'm getting from this.
Yes, okay. If you intend that, yes.
Now, what if you're at the end and then you run into your twin flame and your soulmate? How do you even know?
That's so funny because for the last few years of my life, I have been studying like twin flames and soulmates so much. So I will say I've thought about every single possibility. I have thought about that possibility as well. With soulmates, I would say that if you do meet like a soulmate and a twin flame, you will feel the difference between the two beings. You will feel that one person is literally like trying to trigger you, not trying to trigger you, but there's energy is there to help make you better. With the soulmate, it's not that you're settling, because it's definitely not like that energy. It's just with the soulmate, you're kind of like, okay, I'm good as I am. My soulmate accepts me. We're happy together. Okay. You know, and then your twin flame is kind of forcing you to be better and to change and all that. But another thing is that I will also say that obviously, because I do believe in all possibilities, I do believe that if you wanted to manifest like a twin flame or a soulmate to have like similar traits, or one person to have the traits of a twin flame and a soulmate, you can definitely do that. I believe in everything. Like I'm telling you,
I don't think that I would have any issue deciphering which one and or picking which one, because I love to argue and I love to fight. So I would know my twin flame immediately. And I'd be like, yeah, that's where I want to go. I want to go. There's going to be some chaos. Good chaos, though. There's going to be some chaos. There's going to be some arguing. That's what I'm about.
You're going to get your ass whooped energetically.
That's fine with me. That's what you need. That's what I like.
Yeah,
that's what I like. So have you ever run into any one of these in your lifetime now?
Yeah, I definitely have. I will say that I manifested my twin flame at the age of 17 years old, and wow. I'm still with him.
Wow. I'm 22. Look at that. How old?
I'm 22 now. Okay. Well, I was 17 at the time.
Okay good. Yeah. Do you feel like this is your last run on Earth, and then you're gonna stick around?
Yeah,
okay, so you feel like this is your last one?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. We gotta cheer for that. So that means you're getting triggered, though.
Oh my God. When we first started up, like it was always the relationship that I knew I needed it so much. I remember before that I had thought that a certain person was my twin flame, but they were actually like the biggest karmic twin flame in the world. Like they just showed me everything of what not to be, what not to do, what not to think, pretty much. And then after that, I said to myself, I was like, I need to stop with this bullshit, because I'm settling for so many shitty people. And I had a lot of other karmic soulmates that I would settle for. This time I was like, I know about twin flames. I know about the connection. I need my twin flame, and I'm not settling for less than that. So every single day I literally manifested the fuck out of it. I wrote every single trait I wanted them to have. I meditated on it. I would visualize us together. I would tell myself I was with them, all that shit. And then I met them like 2 months after I did that. It was unbelievable, but it worked. It literally worked. I'm fine. Like, you know.
So I'm assuming there could be some confusion between a karmic soulmate and a twin flame, because both of them are going to trigger you and things like that, right?
Yes, thank you for saying that, because that's, I feel like I should talk about that, because you're
talk
so
about it. Talk about
correct
it.
Again, definitely correct, because
let's talk about it.
There you go, talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. So the whole thing about karmic soulmates is that, yes, like you said, they can appear to be, well, they are very triggering. Twin flames can be as well. The whole difference, though, and this is something I always would tell people whenever they were like, I think this person is my twin flame, but they treat me like shit. And I'm like, babe, listen, if a twin flame, no. If a person does not have good intentions for you, and you know that they don't, they are not your twin flame. The one thing I will say about twin flames is that everything that they do is with the intention of helping you in some way. So even if they might piss you off, it's not to be a bitch to you. It's not to be a dick. It's not to be rude. It's to help you in some way. But what does a karmic do? They're going to try to cheat on you back to hurt your feelings. They're going to cuss you out because they know it's going to hurt you. They're going to tell you this, that, because they know it's going to hurt you. Twin flames are not going to hurt you. It doesn't matter what it is. They are not going to hurt you.
Okay, now I'm getting it. That's the key difference there.
Huge difference.
You can tell by the intention.
Yes.
Okay. So at the end of the day, the twin flame is the best one. That's the one you would want to be with at the end of the day.
I would say yes. I would say, of course, it depends on the person, because I have also met people in this lifetime that I feel like they are better with their soulmate because they just need the peace. Like they've been through too much. Just be with your girl, be with your man, watch your movies together, have fun. For other people, I feel like when they're ready, their soul is ready to be triggered that much, they will be, you know?
Need some friction.
Yes.
I need friction. I don't want fucking movies all day.
It's yours, but no, it's going to be a journey. It really will be.
What else is everything? It's always a journey with me. So everything's a journey. Mm-hmm. So if I see a lot of, most of the people I see, I don't want to say most, but I feel like a lot of the manifestations videos I see are people trying to manifest love, whether it be a soulmate or a twin flame. So could you give us tips and tricks and anything you can about trying to manifest love?
Absolutely. And I will agree with that. I think that that's like the main topic next to money is definitely love. So I remember at the time when I was manifesting my twin flame, I had gotten into the whole concept when I was 16 years old. And what I would do is I would look up on YouTube, like as much as I could, read articles about twin flames. But at the time, the only people who were talking about twin flames were people who were a lot older than me, like 40 plus, you feel me? Because no one my age at the time had known about that kind of stuff. So I would, like, you know, do as much research as I could to help. But then over time, I realized, I was like, wait, the whole key here is literally just focusing on your intention behind what it is that you want. Do you want a perfect lover? Do you want someone who's going to trigger you? Do you want someone you're going to be happy with? Like, what do you want out of this certain relationship? And who do you want to experience it with? Do you want someone tall? Do you want someone short? Do you want someone with curly hair? What, you know? So the one thing I will say is that if you are manifesting love, it's going to be very important that you are focusing truly on what you want out of this person, what you want out of the relationship, and not settling for a single thing. Because sometimes people will say, I want someone who will give me money and treat me so good and take me out or whatever. But then they settle for someone that they have to buy dinner for. You know, like, you know what you're doing. You have to get exactly what you are setting your intentions to. So that's another thing. When I was manifesting my twin flame, there was a lot. Oh my God. I feel like it was literally me being tested, because at the time I remember so many other options were coming in for me. There were people, oh, do you want to date me? This, that. And that was around the time that I was getting more serious about, okay, let's see who I can date or whatever. But I knew in my mind, I was like, if it's not my twin flame, I don't want it. I made that point to myself. There was even a date I went on. It was like the first date, like official date I've ever been on. And I remember I told the person, I just knew that night. I was like, this is not going to work out. And I asked them, I was like, do you ever feel like there's anyone else out there for you? And the person was like, no. And I was like, okay, we're not meant to be, like, in my head. And that was just it. After that, I never settled again for anything else. So that's why it's so important that if you have a certain thing, you have to stick to it. Tell yourself that you are going to get that thing and do not settle for less. Do not. If you wrote down in your book, I'm getting a man who gets me this, I'm getting a girl who does this, you better get that girl or man. Like, you literally, that's just it. It is what you say it is, and that's it. So definitely. And also, don't ever, oh, well, I already said that, but don't settle and don't make someone, well, this is kind of taken with a grain of salt, because obviously with the law of assumption, you can always manifest people to do or act differently, or, you know, have different personality traits and things. But I will say that if you see someone that you don't feel like is for you, don't try to force them into someone that they can, that you want them to be, even though you technically can. For me, I will say that if something doesn't feel right, I'm leaving.
So have you ever in your life, and I'm not even just in love or anything, but in manifestation in general, have you ever worked hard to manifest something, and then once you got it, you were like, oh no, this was the worst thing ever. I should have never managed. This did not turn out the way I wanted it at all. Have you ever had a manifestation go wrong?
Okay, that's a great question, because this is something that you can also flip in a way. Like, okay, I'm trying to think back to if there was ever a time. I feel like there were times that I manifested things that I didn't want. That was more of like the problem for me, because one thing I will say about manifesting things that I wanted and then I got them, I would always like mentally make it work in my favor, because I knew that if I sat there and I was like, oh Jesus, like what did I do? Then that would make me feel worse. So I was like, okay, I'm going to figure out a way to make this into work in my favor, whatever. The one thing I will say that was probably the thing that I said, oh my goodness, this is very intense, was when I manifested my twin flame. After that, I was like, Jesus, and now I see why people don't do this, like, or why it's so difficult to be with your twin flame. Obviously, like, I got through that. I manifested it differently, but definitely. And back to what I was saying about the other thing, though. Yeah, I would say it was more so focused on manifesting the wrong things than anything else.
Like, unconsciously, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Like, unconsciously, you mean? you manifested it like by focusing on the wrong thing. Not that you like, wanted it though.
Yeah, I would say it was like fear-based things that right. I would tell myself, I'm gonna fail, and then I would fail.
like how you were talking about earlier with YouTube, like getting criticism and stuff like that. You didn't want that, but since you focused on it so much, you got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So any tips for somebody who may have manifested the wrong thing?
Oh, absolutely. I got tips because I was the master at manifesting the wrong things. But what you really just have to do is realize that you are literally just focusing on the wrong shit. You have to redirect your focus onto things that you know will make you happier and better. So if you're sitting here and you're focusing on how you can fail, how things can go wrong, how people can criticize you, whatever, that you're wasting your energy and your space. So you have to make the conscious decision to sit there and to choose better for yourself. Because as long as you're making a decision, I'm going to manifest the best out of this. I'm going to be happier. I'm going to do this. That will happen. So anytime that you find yourself thinking about, you know, something that doesn't align with you or something that you don't like, remind yourself that that's not meant for you, that it's fake. It's literally just not a possibility in your reality. And then focus on the good things. And also know that you do deserve the good things. Because I knew even at the time when I would do this, I would tell myself, just focus on the good things. But then I would tell myself, I don't deserve the good things. So I would go right back to the shitty things. So you kind of also have to know that you do deserve this. Like this is meant for you, you know? So definitely all about mental discipline. If you have mental discipline, you have everything.
There you go. One topic I've seen in manifestation that I haven't dove into before, but I've heard about it. I don't really know what it is revision. What is that?
Oh, okay. Revision. So basically what that is when you are able to kind of like rewrite something from the past or like something that you thought about. It's about rewriting things that have already happened, but because time to me does not exist. I don't believe in, if it is this way, it is this way and you can't change it. I believe that everything can be changed or whatever. So with revision, let's say for example, you wasted a year being the most negative version of yourself. And because of your negativity, there has been a result of so many terrible things that have come into your life. What revision does is you sit there and you quite literally not affirm against it, but you affirm in favor of the fact that that year was actually perfect for you, that so many amazing things came out of it. You actually grew so much and your mindset is perfect instead of sitting there and re-implementing how horrible your life was. Do you understand? I hope that makes sense because it is a little like tricky for those who have a logical mindset, but it's all about basically rewriting your life by using your thoughts and your words.
But do people do it? You kind of use it in a broad sense, like, oh, this whole year. And that way I could see it because in that way you're almost just telling yourself like the whole, it's not very specific. So there's a lot of room for you to be like, yeah, of course, you know, that went well for me. I got positive stuff out of the year. But what about, do people do it for like a specific situation? Like, oh, I got into this fight like 2 months ago. How do you revise something that specific?
So yes, people do revise things like that. They can, I'm just going to say something that's going to sound crazy to logical people. But what I'm going to tell you is like, say, for example, with the fight thing, let's say someone didn't, maybe they got into a fight and they lost or something. Let's say that, you know, they're really embarrassed and they want to change that. They're like, I wanted to have won that fight. All you have to do is just sit there. And I will say that visualization helps me. So that's something else. But you can sit there and you just tell yourself, I actually won that fight. Everyone knows I won that fight. You visualize yourself winning the fight, whatever, everyone cheering you on instead. As you do that and you are so sure that you are living in this reality in which you actually won the fight, you would be so surprised to see that people will actually come up to you and be like, dude, you totally whooped that person's ass. And things like this have actually happened in the lives of many people out here where you just you literally rewrite it. But it's all about, keep in mind, it's all about maintaining that mindset. Because if you sit there and you're like, I sound so silly, bro. Like I lost the fight. Everyone saw me lose. It is what it is. You know, that's obviously how it wouldn't work. But if you're sure and you know, and that's just it, maybe not even sure, because the repetition, like you just saying it is more than enough. But all that stuff can happen in your favor if you allow it to. You know, it's always with your permission.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is something I think about when I hear things that specifically in manifestation. And I always wondered how you thought about it. Do you think because it's a pretty common thought that we have different timelines and different universes and alternate realities. Do you think that if somebody is successful at revising a specific moment, that they're literally jumping into an alternate timeline? Like they just wake up one day in a different universe, essentially?
I genuinely, you know, I actually do believe that now. I used to believe that parallel universes and like dimensions, I used to think it was more, I was sus of it. Like, I don't really know. But now I realize that the reason I thought it was so fake was because I thought it would be extremely dramatic. I thought it would be like you wake up and your hair is actually the opposite color and everyone is different and no one remembers your old name, like shit like that. Obviously, if you manifest that, that's different. But in the case that you're like, let me rewrite this, let me jump to a different timeline, you literally just do in that moment and you are there the same second that you say so, you know? So I do believe in that now. I do believe that you can definitely wake up in a different universe or like a parallel universe in a way with your manifestations there, but it's all with the... It's like normal. It's just normal. There's nothing different or weird or crazy. It's just your lifestyle, right? You know? Yeah, so it's very simple.
Do you think it works different ways? Because I can see in the case of, let's say you want to manifest a motorcycle, right? Or a car. I could see the argument that you don't necessarily need to jump to another timeline in that case because there's so many possibilities in your current reality that can work in your favor, that somebody could give it to you. You could win the lottery. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen to you that your reality can be manipulated. So do you think that it works multiple different ways? Like you're manipulating your reality, or every time you manifest something, you're jumping into another reality?
That's a great question as well. You ask amazing questions. I will say that with that, it definitely is all about perception as well. If you say that it will be something like that, it can be. But I do think that it kind of is just based on what you say for yourself. Like if you tell yourself, oh, I'm in a different reality, my life is completely different than how it used to be, this, that, then that will happen for you. But for me personally, I'm a very simple person. So I'll just say, it is what it is and it'll be, and that's it. And then it will. And yes, I do believe that there's a million of different ways that things can happen. I never believe in just one possibility. I used to believe in one possibility, but over time I've been proven wrong plenty of times that there's limitless amounts of ways that things can happen and work in your favor.
Right. Right. So spirit guides, to move on to that. Mm-hmm. Are you in touch with your spirit guides? Do you feel like you have a connection with them? Are they real? What is your thought about spirit guides?
Yes, I definitely do believe in spirit guides. Yes, I do have spirit guides. I will say that like I also am very simple with like the whole, like, I guess you could say communicating with spirit thing, because I do, my main point in who I communicate with is God to me. That's what I call it. Cause I know that everyone calls God a different thing, like the universe, spirit, Allah, you know, there's different kinds of definitions, but for me, I call it just God. Whatever. But yes, I do believe in spirit guides. There's definitely spirits out here who do want the best for you, who do want to see you succeed, who do want you to be better and just like basically become a better version of what you are already. So definitely real. It's kind of like guardian angels. It's the same energy. The only difference is that with guardian angels, they're more so there to protect you. You can always get advice from them, of course, like a spirit guide, but spirit guides are specifically there to guide you through life.
How does one get in touch with spirit guides?
So the way that people get in touch with spirit guides is all about your openness to communicate with them, because they're always around. But if you push them away and you say, oh, I don't want to look into this, whatever, then they're never going to be able to shine through the way that they can. But the way that one person, I would say the easiest way to, is simply by asking for a sign, like just saying, show me that you're here. Show me a sign that you're present, whatever. Don't overthink the sign. Don't overthink how you're going to get it. Don't overthink when it's going to happen. Just ask for a sign. You will get your sign. Then once you get your sign, I always kind of motivate people to, or encourage people to, you know, branch out in that communication so that you can speak further. But it's really all about your openness. Like if you have a open ability to communicate with spirit, but even if you can't, well, everyone has the ability to. Some people just don't know how to do it, but just because you don't know how to do it doesn't mean you won't be able to find a way. So right. It definitely is all about your intention as well. And yeah, pretty much.
You had told me a story when we finished the first podcast, and I told you I was going to put it in one of the other episodes, but then I ended up deleting it like an idiot. So now you can tell the story again. It was a story about when you were younger and you were, I think it was your first spirit guide and how you found the name of it. Do you remember that?
Yes, I just remembered that like 2 minutes ago, and then you just said that. Dang. You see, the universe.
I manifested it. I was thinking about it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Okay, bet. So basically, the way that, well, at the time, what I did, I remember I was 16 years old as well. No, I was 17. I was 17. I remember I was on YouTube and I was like, I really want to talk to my spirit guides, and I had no idea how to. Again, at the time, this is when spiritual advice was very limited. So I would like find whatever I could on YouTube and all that. And I found this one video of this older woman, and she was like, let's learn the name of our spirit guide today, the easiest way that you can. So what she said was lay down in a meditative position. And it was like a guided meditation. She told us to visualize ourselves walking into a thing, walking here. I remember she said, walk to the end of the trail and there's going to be a big library or something like that. Like there's a big library with a bunch of books. Pick up the book that I forgot. I can't remember. She asked us to choose a color. I think she made us choose a color of the book, something like that. But she's like, take out the book, open the book, go through it, whatever, go to the last page. On the last page will be the name of your spirit guide. And then at the end, I remember I opened it, or was it guardian angel? It was something like, I think it was a guardian angel, but it's basically the same thing. You go to the end, and then right then and there, I saw the name. And I remember I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I remember I vividly saw the name and I never let it go. And I ended up meeting that. Well, that spirit guide was always there. But after that day, I was able to properly channel that spirit guide because I knew the name and I felt connected. And I was like, oh my God. So yes, that's how, in my personal opinion, like the easiest way to find the name of it. But it's definitely there. And if you do want to know the name, they will always be ready to tell you.
And you felt more like you were spectating that than imagining it. Like you weren't really consciously using your imagination, I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. That's another important thing when it comes to channeling and visualizing and meditating or whatever that you're doing, mostly channeling, because with channeling, a lot of people feel like it's their imagination. They think it's their ego and they're like, I feel like I'm making shit up. If you feel like you're making shit up, you probably are. It comes very, very naturally to you. So yes, that name just popped up to me and I was like, oh my God, I know it is for a fact. Like, this is what it is. And it just was.
Okay. So yeah. I feel like since you are a very creative person and open to the spirit world and you can channel and things like that, that usually comes with being a highly sensitive person. Do you know what that is?
Yes. HSP? You're talking about like with energies, right?
Yeah. Or like just being like an HSP in general. You ever read that book, Highly Sensitive People?
Oh my God. I haven't read the book, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're that?
I feel like in general, I will say, I feel like I used to be more. I feel like now I am. The way that I would just call myself, because I do believe that there's different kinds of like incarnations. I believe that some people are, what is it called? Oh my goodness. It's something seeds. Jesus, I can't believe it.
Star seeds. Yeah.
Thank you. Star seed, that there's, you know, people from different universes, I guess you could say. For me, I just feel like they call that one like an earth angel. I feel like I'm just meant to be on earth to help people. But definitely with being a highly sensitive person, I feel like I am. But I feel like I know how to also take care of myself very deeply. So I don't ever fear being like spiritually taken advantage of, you know,
and not even spiritually taken advantage of, because mostly because I'm a highly sensitive person, I figured out by reading that book, I think I took like a test or something like that, and that usually comes with like being tired more quickly, like being more sensitive to smells, being way more sensitive to sounds. And as I look back on my life as like a little kid, that was me. So I've been like that. Like I was always very sensitive to loud noises, and I could smell things and just hear things, and it would take like, I would get more worn out and tired than everybody else. Like I would need more rest time than everybody else. Is that, do you agree with that? Is that you too?
Yes, actually, like now that you say that, all that stuff, when I was little, I think I had that problem up until the age of about 18 years old when I learned how to spiritually protect myself from all that stuff. Even though I know, like you said, it's not just spiritual.
Yeah.
The reason I would get tired more often was because anytime I went to the store, I would feel everyone's energy and it would drive me crazy. Or like you said, I would hear something or feel something and I'm like, gee, like it always felt like I was in a box.
Yeah. People rub off on you. I feel like that. I feel people's energy, stuff like that.
Yes.
And you
can, but now you have to like spiritually protect yourself from that shit.
I need a course on that. I need a one-on-one on how to do that. I feel like I'm always tired. Yeah, I feel like I'm always tired and like dealing with people. That's why I try not to, like, on certain days, if I'm doing something creative, I try not to like come in contact with too many people.
I understand that completely.
I don't want them to like wear me out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about, go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, well, if you do want a little bit of advice, I will tell you that the biggest thing that's helped me even today, because lately I've been dealing, well, I haven't been dealing with people, but there's certain people that I have to talk to that I'm like, I don't like their energy. And what I just do to myself is like, anytime I feel like it's starting to drain me or whatever, I would just redirect my focus and be like, they don't have permission. That's basically what you have to do, is just bring back your permission, or take back your control. So don't give them the permission to fuck with you. That's it. Anyway, so, you were going to say.
Well, then my follow-up question to that is, have you done that during, how many times have you done that during this interview so far?
How many?
I'm just fucking with you. We talked about spirit guides, and as we wind this down, the final like two questions, I think the biggest spirit guide of all time, and somebody you mentioned in the beginning of your videos, which is one of the reasons I really liked your videos up front from the bat, is you talk about Jesus in the beginning of your videos. Never have I heard that in any other manifester or pretty much any other spiritual YouTuber before. So why do you love Jesus?
I love, oh my God, he's my homeboy. Like, honestly, I will say that Jesus, I know that there's a whole lot of different beliefs, because I know that there's a bunch of religions that have a lot of different things, and I respect that completely, but I do believe in having your own definition for things. So the way that I view Jesus in my eyes is just as someone who was a huge, I would say like the first real help of the earth. Like, God definitely sent Jesus to earth. And I do believe that Jesus and God are two different entities. I know some people believe that they're one. I believe that Jesus was a normal person like you and I, but that he just was an older soul in the terms that he knew what he was talking about. He knew how to help people. And that was his purpose, to come to earth, help people, put them on. They were afraid of him, obviously, which is why a lot of things didn't go in his favor, you know, all that stuff. But as far as everything else, people learned, and obviously no one ever forgot. So I feel like over time, especially because, I don't know, I think I did mention this in the last video when I dealt with the possession thing. Jesus, this was the first time that I actually felt the presence of Jesus in my life ever. Before that, I always felt more connected to just God. But up until that moment, Jesus was the one who definitely like saved my life at that time, because if it wasn't for his energy, I definitely believe that those demonic entities would have like completely screwed me over. So he definitely helped me in every way, shape, and form. And I will always hold on to that. I will never forget how intense that was and how meaningful that was to me. So I know that he's real for sure. Like, his energy is real.
Right. And if you haven't heard the story she's referring to, you can hear that on the channel. We put up a separate video of it. But if you can't find that, it's in the first podcast we did together. So that was a crazy story. So that was the first time you came in contact with, or you felt Jesus' presence in your life.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a total, I don't know what it's called, when they interview like church people.
Jesus,
what is that
freak?
Thing called? What is
You're
it?
You're going to sound like a Jesus freak, like a Bible thumper?
No, like you may, like a testimony, is that what it's
called?
Yes, a testimony. Like, you're a testimony. Funny, but basically it's gonna sound like a testimony, but I swear this is real. I wouldn't say this shit if it wasn't. I felt the presence of that, of him come in and just steer me away from all the evil, because I'm sure people know now, I've spoken about this enough, or I know at least some of my viewers to know that if you say the name of Jesus, whenever there's a demonic entity present, or maybe a sleep paralysis, you're having a nightmare, you see something, if you say Jesus, they will leave you alone because they're terrified of such positive energy.
You hear that a lot from multiple different people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of books, a lot of documentaries. I mean, I've heard it so many times.
Yeah, it's definitely true. And I remember, at that time that all that stuff happened to me, Jesus, if I'm being honest, I was turning to everything besides like Jesus and, you know, like the positive light. I was doing my own thing. I was trying my best to like break this curse. Let me get a spell out, this, that. And I'm not shitting on anyone else. Like, if you have different spiritual beliefs, of course. But in my case, all I'm saying is that when it really worked was when I was using the power of that light of Jesus, and that is what saved it. And I don't even think it's just that it was Jesus. It was just the energy of positivity and light that came through, you know, that saved me.
Yeah, it's the intention behind the name, I guess, and what it comes with. Yeah, I'm a Perfect. Jesus guy too. I have not read the Bible front to back in any way, shape, or form, but there's a lot of things I read from it that I agree with, that I like, that are very helpful, especially in bad times. And even if even if Jesus didn't walk the earth, I mean, just the if you look at the Bible in an allegorical way, where it's just a big story, it's still the example that we should follow of living like that. Like, even if I'm not close to that at all, but I would like to be more like that, like more kind, more loving, more forgiving, more generous, you know. And I'm not trying to boil any of this down into like something so simple like that, but that's how I would want to behave a little more. So that's why I like Jesus.
I like that. You're drawn to the good energy. That's what it is.
Yeah, I need it. I need it.
Definitely. It's you can feel it. It's so strong. Like, once you're there, you never want to leave.
Right. So speaking of leaving, you're going to leave because you said you got to leave by a certain time. So I don't want to keep you too long. But
no, you're good.
But the last thing we got to do, because you do it at the end of your videos and we did it at the end of the last one, is we got to get a hype up, because if we know if anybody can hype anybody up, it's you. I definitely need one. So if you can, give us a little hype up. If somebody's feeling down, somebody's feeling bad, what do you got to say?
I got you, man. I'm going in. Let's start. So basically what I'm going to say is if someone out here is feeling a little negative or a little limited, maybe you feel like you can't get what you want, or maybe you feel unhappy, I want you to know that you have the power inside of you to change every single circumstance in your life, that you never, ever have to sit in a life that you do not want to be living in. And I also do not say this lightly, because I know what it's like to live a life that I didn't like, that I hated. And then I look back now and I'm like, well, you know, what was the point? There was no point in me making my life so much harder than it had to be when I could have been making it this easy. So if you are someone who overthinks the quality of your life and you think that you can't do anything about it, I'm here to let you know that you can. You have all the power to do it. Your mindset is the only thing that matters. As long as you have your intention set on having a good life and you are a good person, I also say that because I feel like being a good person, having a good energy is very important for yourself and for others. Just if you want the best quality of life, you have to have your intention set on that, and then never settle for anything besides that, okay? Because it all leads down to you, back to you, and please stop running from it. Do not victimize yourself. Do not tell yourself that you can't. I'm telling you that you can. Make the decision to choose to be able to do it, because it's a choice that you make, all right? Be strong. Fucking do this. It's always going to be up to you, down to you, whether that hurts or not to hear. It always is. So you got to be sure that you're making it the best, because if it's not the best, it's not worth living. And I mean that wholeheartedly.
Bam. I can't. How can I even add? What can I even say? What I do before we really end is, what I do also like about your stuff and what you're saying in this interview is, I feel like a lot of people also in manifestation, I mean, like you said, it's take everything with a grain of salt, and there's different advice for different situations, but you're never like, you could just do nothing ever and you can get what you want. I mean, you have said in certain cases you could, I mean, and there is certain cases where you could manifest something by not putting any work in. I mean, I think we've all done it in some shape, way, shape or form, but you're never like, be lazy as fuck. And I feel like that's almost an excuse sometimes for people. It's like, I'm just going to like sit here and think about it. And I don't think that's how the world works.
I will say as well with that, is that it really is, like you said, it's kind of like with perception, because I do know that, like, for example, for my own cases, let's say that I want to manifest $1,000 for fun, whatever. If I am doing it with the intention of, I know it's going to happen, it's going to be fine, and I'm sitting here just knowing in my heart that it's right, and that me sitting here on my bed doing nothing, affirming to myself I got $1,000, that it's going to work and it's going to be straight, then I do encourage, like, you know, do what you got to do. But if you feel like you're not doing enough, like if your soul feels unsettled within the fact that, oh, maybe I am being a little lazy, then you should get up and do something. Because I know for me, I don't like to bust my ass. Like, if I'm going to bust my ass, it's going to be for things that I like. So anytime that I bust my ass, it's always with the intention of getting what I want out of it, but it's always going to be enjoyable for my soul. If I'm doing something I don't like and my soul is like, go to bed, just affirm for it, I'm gonna do that. So it's always up to what you feel genuinely. Yeah.
I think I've experienced both of those where mm-hmm. I feel like I was doing too much and I could mm-hmm. be achieving more by not doing anything and by pulling back. And then mm-hmm. other times where my spirit is telling me, no, you need to go in right now. And yeah. I think that it's, if you want to manifest something, a lot of times, like if you want to talk about prayer, because I'm more of like a prayer guy, I'm more of a spectator in the manifestation world. I really don't do it, but I like to look at it and like to hear people talk about it. But I'm just really a prayer guy. And I'll find a lot of times at the end of a prayer or something, I'll get an opportunity. Not that some stuff is straight up coming to my lap for sure. I can't mm-hmm. deny that. But a lot of times I've asked for something and I'll get a book will come on about it. I won't be looking for this book at all. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this book will come in my life to teach me how to do something to get to that next step. So that's what I'm saying. Like not in every case, I feel like manifestation should be, well, let's just sit around.
Right. And I do agree with that as well, because I know for myself, I also like a little bit of a journey in a way. Sometimes it depends. Like, I don't like to be stressed, obviously, yeah. but I yeah. do also encourage, because it is a choice of manifestation. I know that there's some people who genuinely don't like to do anything and will just manifest everything. But for me, I do sometimes say, you know what? I'm going to find a way. And then a way is found, you know, right. like I just go along with the journey kind of thing. So I do definitely agree with that. And I can definitely see that perspective as well.
Yeah. It depends on the situation. I'm not saying either way is the way, but mm-hmm. you've said so much greatness. Is there anything you want to say before you go?
The only thing I want to say is to thank everybody, including you. Thank everybody for watching, for tuning in, for subscribing, for everything. You guys are a huge blessing, and I intend that y'all know that the energy that you put out is the energy that is received. So I wanted to thank everybody and thank God and just the entire world. I'm so thankful for everything. Thank you
for coming. And to the audience, some of you already may know, podcast on Tuesday, podcast on Saturday as well, and an extra video on Friday. Peace and love. See you next time.